I'm joining
you
in.
You are on Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go now. Let's rock and roll.
Yes, sirs. The month of August is upon us. Gary, you don't like my hat? What did you think? It was Alabama? Is that what you thought?
Oh, no, I like your hat. I like your hat just fine.
You're talking about Rob's hat?
Yeah, what's this L.A. hat? Or is that Louisiana? Or what?
L.A. hat.
Well, it's a Dodgers hat. Hey, I'm a Yankee fan, first and foremost, but there's a few other baseball teams that I kind of root for, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Rays, of course. So it was crazy that I root for the Dodgers and the Giants, and they are rivals.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And Rays, they're in the. You know what's going on with the Rays? I mean, is that because you're a transplant? Is that what that is, or is that why, or before that?
Hey, you know, just being here in Tampa, of course. But of course, the Yankees are still first and foremost. When the Yankees in town, I'm decked out with my Yankees gear, talking all kind of trash to the Rays fans.
Your employees in your station, boy, they put an ass whipping on you. You're going to be a Rays.
Oh man, man, you should have seen all the trash talking. I was talking to my employees about the Saints and the Bucks and how we own the Bucks. That's why I was raising hell with my team on last week. I was talking trash. Saints gonna win the division. I don't even know if I believe that, but I was still telling them that.
You know you don't believe that.
Hey, I think we got a shot. You know, I think we got the roster, but you know, it's just going to be a matter of when we get into quarterback position. But we've beaten the Bucks 4 out of the last 5 times, and we swept them last year.
Rob is a trip, man. Gary, we appreciate you coming on.
And we shut Brady out last year.
And I was in L.A. I'm like, L.A., maybe that's Louisiana university. I don't know.
That's pretty funny.
You
root
for the Rams, don't you, Gary? You're a Cowboys fan.
You know what? This has been my only year I've rooted for the Rams.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that was,
yeah.
You know, because
sense.
Of the loss
yeah,
of
yeah.
my father and,
right.
You know, so I guess if I had a second team, I'm not going to root for them week to week, but if they were in the Super Bowl, I would root for them to win it again. Of course, I'm an NFC guy anyway, you know, so I'd root for the NFC anyway.
Yeah.
Unless it were like the Eagles or the, New York football
Commanders.
Giants. I wouldn't.
Too far. We
have to worry about this for the next 20 years.
Oh, man. Only 20 years right now. I love it. Well, we'll see how that – man, sometimes if you talk about – and this is not a shot because I will say this because, again, a couple of my buddies, huge fans of the Redskins – or at the time, the Commanders, the Redskins at the time, talk about the Hogs and how great they were and – and you're like, yeah, that was such a
yeah.
long time ago. And then, you know, of course, you bring that up with the, you know, the Cowboys. And I used to live in Texas, man. So, I had a small segment where I was actually kind of a Cowboys fan and when I was a kid, man. But other than that, it's just crazy how, you know, life evolves, you know. So, it's just crazy. So, you know, it's tough. You guys ready to start the show, though? Have some fun? Get this party started, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Let's make it do what it do. That's why I'll listen to the tune in.
Let's make it happen.
I'm gonna grab
Curtis May call in. Curtis May call in just to listen in, but he may call in on Zoom. My wife's over with
that's
him
good.
Tonight.
Okay.
And so that's why I'm here at home, because I'm here with my mom and Arnett is with Curtis tonight.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Literally, we do this every week. Naj is joining us right now. Is that you, Naj? I got you. I popped him in early, like literally joining us for the full duration of the show. So looking forward to getting his thoughts for a full almost 50
here we
minutes,
go.
If you will. How you, Naj, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, what's up, man? You ain't got to do me like that, Gary. You ain't got to do me like that. What's going on, y'all?
What's going on, Naj?
We're doing good. You know, again, it's good to have you. I'm going to just do a quick segue because JQ didn't join us, so we definitely have some time to kind of talk about some of these great topics. We appreciate it. Rob is always putting up the stuff. Again, when we're on Twitter, which is at the number 12, you know, 12 Man Sports. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsport12man. And obviously you got us on Blog Talk here. So, you know, again, we're gonna jump right into this. This month is a crazy month for me, the month of August. I'm going to talk a lot about it because it's me and my wife's anniversary, her birthday, my mom's birthday, her brother's birthday. We have all this stuff happen this month. So pray for me, guys, because I'm going to be expensive month.
You about to spend some money.
So if I'm crying on the show, it's because I've been, you know, spitting out all this money, but it's all worth it. You know, obviously I'm thrilled to keep it going.
Pocket change for you, Dre. Pocket change, man.
Exactly. So I come out this month, like, yes, you know, so if I'm DJing extra, that's what's happening too. So I gotta catch up for this month, but definitely thrilled for sure. But let's talk some sports, guys. Right out.
And just for the record, you guys are bad luck. Oh, I'm sorry, Andre.
Why are we bad luck, Dodge? You can't stop to start. Why?
Tyler Anderson needs 5 strikeouts for me. He's got 3. I went and grabbed a beer, called into the show, pulled the scoreboard up again. It's 6-5. He still has 3 strikeouts.
That was me grabbing the beer. You should have stayed right there. You know, do my wife things. Literally, she like leaves out the room for certain things whenever the team is doing good. So I'm gonna leave. Oh my god, it's all good. Hey, but we're here. We're gonna kick this off. Let's talk about what's happening with Deshaun Watson. That's kind of hot off the press here. His suspension, and it looks like right now that he's been suspended for 6 games, and you know, that's kind of the takeaway here. I guess the way there was a 16-page ruling with this, you had the arbitrator, and I'll start with you, Rob. What are your thoughts on this? I know there's some situations and certain decisions that are kind of, you know, being on hold, but what do you think about this kind of immediate reaction as far as what's happening with Deshaun Watson and the NFL?
Well, I'm surprised that the Players Association is not going to try to appeal it, and it looks like they're going to, you know, they're pretty happy with the ruling that it not being a full season. And so they're going to, you know, and they're hoping that Roger Goodell sticks with just the 6 games, too, and not try to make it a full season, and they take the arbitrator's ruling of the 6 games. So the Players Association saying, hey, this is a fair ruling. Let's go with that, you know, and hoping that Goodell agrees to it. So I'm pretty sure that's what it's probably looking like. It's going to be a 6-game suspension. Obviously, for the Browns, when you look at it from a football perspective, this is another team that has a talented roster, right? And with Deshaun Watson, you're hoping that they can contend for that division. I think the Ravens and the Bengals are still the 2 best teams in that division if they're healthy, with the Browns being 3rd. But they could be a contender. And I think for them, for these first 6 games, your hope is to at least finish these first 6 games 3-3. So that way you can make a run in the last 11 games here and maybe – see if you get in the playoffs here with a 11-6 kind of record or 10-7, you know, something like that. Or if they get real lucky, 12-5, right? Because, like I said, it is a talented roster. They have a really good offensive line, really good defensive line. They got good defensive players in the back 7. A heck of a running back field back there as well. So, you know, the question mark is, what do they have on the perimeter now? No Jarvis Landry, no Odell Beckham. You know, what do you have at the perimeter? They're expecting big things from the tight end that they got from the University of Miami. But this could be a talented team. But like I said, from a football perspective, you hope you know, is there any kind of way Jacoby Brissett can get us a 3-3 until Watson returns?
Well, the only thing I would say on that is, first of all, you got to – I don't trust Roger Goodell as far as I can throw him.
Nobody.
And I don't think any of the players in the league trust Roger Goodell. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if he made that either a full season or more games into it. I just don't trust him going with that, what is it, six games?
Right.
I don't necessarily believe that. Would it surprise you, Rob, if he said, no, we're going to go with 12 games or we're going with a full season or whatever out of Goodell with how he's treated players in the past? Would it surprise you?
It wouldn't surprise me, but I think he is going to settle on the six games, too. I think he's going to go with the arbitrator's ruling. I don't think he wants to go and battle this out with the Players Association. I think he's going to take the ruling and agree to it and move on. But that being said, it wouldn't surprise me, though, if he did say otherwise. But I think he's going to settle on the six games and move on and take the arbitrator's ruling.
Well, do you remember, several years ago, him and Jerry Jones had a big, conflict. And one of the Cowboy players, I don't know which one, I can't remember the scenario, but got suspended for more games than what they thought he was going to get. And with that said, Jerry Jones was the one that was holding up his money in his contract year, in Goodell's contract year. He was holding up the money, and he was trying to get him out of there because he was so pissed off at him for this. So I know that even some of the owners have issues with Goodell, even though he is their guy. Some of them,
whipping boy.
Not so much.
Go ahead, Nas. What you got for that, bro?
Yeah, man, look, first things first, let's just relax a little bit and just look around and say, wait a minute, former federal judge, people answering questions, did y'all see the interview where they're talking to the coaches, teammates, and everybody, everybody's giving these, deliberate pauses as they're speaking, as if they're saying something, the Gettysburg address. Yo, the NFL takes itself too seriously, man. Y'all need to relax, NFL. Roger, the owners, all of y'all. Y'all are not that important. But speaking to the Watson case, I really hope Watson understands how good he's going to have to be for this to be okay. Because let me tell you something, man. The backlash and the effort he's going to meet from fans on the road and everything else, I don't know if he knows what he signed up for, but as far as the ruling, it was what it was, man. You took it to a court of law. It only went so far within court. So what were you going to do as the NFL? You're going to punish him in another way? So, I can understand that part. I can also understand people saying, look, this dude got away with something. Say what you want to say about consent. We're not talking about sexual assault. We're not talking about battery. But we are talking about coloring outside the line. There's a there. It's just hard to quantify what it is. But, yeah, he misses six games, and the NFL keeps rolling as the monster that it is. And, yes, I'm going to be watching with all the ish I just talked. But, dude, they did this for the Cleveland Browns, not for Deshaun Watson. Let's not get that confused. The NFL gave a free agency date where they said, okay, you can go talk to Deshaun. Multiple teams fly down to talk to Deshaun. He interviews them about working for them. And then Cleveland wins the sweepstakes. And they just craft a contract that happens to prepare for him possibly being suspended for six games. So the circus must go on. I'll stop.
And it's crazy, too, because, obviously we know that I think the challenge is that he violated kind of the personal conduct policy. That's kind of what they're looking at, too, in this instance, too. So that's number one. There's a couple of instances that happened. If you go back to Deflategate, you can go back to Bountygate, all these different situations that happened. And, they were kind of, since it happened there, 4 and 6, little things of that too. So you know, you got to get some punishment in there too. I think the interesting part of this is that you look at the NFL, like you said, Naj, it's crazy because you had a system designed to do exactly what it's supposed to do, right? You had a third-party arbitrator, federal, go in and actually look at the case. And you're looking at it, she basically said there wasn't enough evidence to convict them, if you will. But like, well, there was something there, like you said, something was there, personal conduct was violated, and the NFL then have to prove its case to say, what are we doing to, you know, get that year too. So I guess from that standpoint, like I said, I'm not sure if they're going to suspend them anymore, but like you said, we know that it does look at how, you know, Roger kind of views kind of his personal conduct, if you will. But like I said, I think there, where there's smoke, there's fire, but there's just not enough, as you can tell, because, you know, it was a female. She tried the case, and she looked at it. Only like 15 of the 24 came up, all that fun stuff. But, again, if you're Deshaun Watson, your years of getting massages are pretty much over, bro. So just, you know, count that out. Or if you're getting a massage, it's definitely overseed or something. So I think he's learned an interesting lesson too. But
lucky rabbit's foot in his pocket ever seen. Because ain't no way in hell he can get through all of that and not be robbed. Look, those are the type of women who will set you up to be robbed. The fact that he got away luckily, and I ain't even talking about his transgressions. I'm just saying, just in general. Like, dude, you know how close you could have been to being killed doing this reckless stuff you was doing? No, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I just had to say that.
No, it's crazy. But now, under the wake of everything, now you got, that's hilarious, you got Jacoby Brissett. He's kind of ready to take the reins. You know, this guy has been a career backup. It's funny because he's backed up all the famous ones from, like, Jimmy Garoppolo. He's backed up even Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, he's gone through a couple of different situations before. So it's not like he's not ready, but I'm looking at it as like, man, you got the guy that he's been backing up for, like, Andrew Luck. It's crazy. He's been the guy, right?
He was 3-1
with
Belichick.
He's been there. Right. It's like, hey, I'm here,
guys.
He
can win a game or two for you. I mean, Belichick went 3-1 in four games. You know, when Brady was there and he had suspended four games, but he's proven he can win some games.
It's the
play game. But you know, and another thing to think about here with Deshaun Watson, what kind of player is he going to be when he comes back? You know, this is a guy that didn't play all of last year, and he's going to miss six games this year. You know, what kind of player is he going to be? You know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of rust, you know, in that when he comes back. You know, I mean, I don't think we can expect him to just come in and, you know, after six games being off and then all of last season, is just come in and be a game changer. So, I mean, I think that's going to be a tough ask for the Browns, even if Brissett can get him 3-3. You know, what kind of player is Watson going to be when he comes? I think it's going to take him quite a few games before he can get it, you know, get settled back in as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Woo, that's tough.
Well, they got
go ahead.
Brissett, Dobbs, Rosen. You know, those are their quarterbacks.
Josh Rosen.
So let me ask you this: is this a good time for them to go after Jimmy G? Maybe get Jimmy G for a decent price. He's better than any of those three guys.
He does the same thing as Jacoby Brissett. Game manager guy, you tell him not to lose the game. Look, Jacoby is looking forward to this. He's like, look, if I go 4-2, I can get more of these clipboard checks. I'm a game manager, don't lose the game guy. Like, that's who he is. Jimmy has kind of been masquerading as a franchise quarterback, but he's actually a similar type of guy. But they're not going to ask Jacoby to do much, man. It's going to be some basic handoff chub, RPO stuff.
Like Rob said. Yeah.
Stuff
to
Cooper
Swift.
Handoff chub, handoff Kareem Hunt, handoff chub.
Right.
Not
lose the game. Left,
slant,
right.
Slant and dig to Cooper. Like, they're not going to ask him to do much, man. So I don't think they make a move. But to his previous point, though, dude, I don't think they understand the expectations here. Yes, he's going to have to hit the ground running. Because, dude, if you're doing drive time radio, Deshaun has a bad game his first game. Dude, that's your A block, damn near your B block. You're talking about that all day. And people are calling in on it all day. Like, he's got a ball, man.
No preseason, anything like that. Like Rob said, to get warmed up, you're literally just getting some reps and practice, and you know, different practice different from games. You know, and then the famous words of Allen Iverson. But still, man,
well, you can play in the preseason.
He's got to hit the ground. Okay. Well, hopefully, we'll see how that plays
he's
out.
Playing
that's
the preseason,
better, like,
so
he can't play. Interesting.
And actually,
okay.
You probably want to give him a good bit of reps in the preseason with him being gone for 6 weeks.
I didn't realize he could play.
Right.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. All right. Yeah. He gets some. That may help him too, Rob. We'll see how, like you said, how lefty he is, how he can hold that down. But interesting on what's happening with that too. He's collecting a check, like you said, Gary. Absolutely, Josh Rosendahl. That's scary if you are the Browns, man. Oh man, Cooper Rush. Anybody?
And
no,
it's too bad
just,
that Sean Watson couldn't serve some of those games last year. He didn't play at all. But the only problem is he was getting paid last year, even though he wasn't playing. So, you know, that's why he still got to serve the suspension.
There it is. Let's talk about what's going on. This is for Gary here, layup question for the Cowboys here. And, you know, we talk about situations. I think the Ravens had some challenges with cornerbacks last year, and apparently it's happening to the Cowboys with wide receivers. Just, unfortunately, you guys are taking some hits with James Washington sidelines. I think he's been sidelined for 6 to 10 weeks now. You lost Michael Gallup. I mean, pretty much if you can, you know, run and catch a slant, you're pretty much going to be ready to go, man. So what's going on? You traded, obviously you traded, you know, Amani, he's gone, right? Cooper's gone, right? Who you got, man? What you going to do?
Well, man, you're enjoying this, aren't you?
I'm not enjoying it at all.
You never cracked a – You cracked a smile the whole time you were saying this. This is great. Yeah. You know, So we still have C.D. Lamb until probably next week if he gets hurt. But, you know, we got Tolbert that was drafted in the third round from Alabama. We got Drummond from Ole Miss. We got
South Alabama.
Fry Fogle from Indiana. We got, I don't know what this – Yeah, then we got another rookie from Stanford. We got Noah Brown. We got Ja'Quari Robinson from the Tar Heels. And we got this Turpin who played for TCU, and then he played in the USFL or whatever it was. So we got a bunch of We got a bunch of rookies. We're thinking about bringing back T.O. and the other ADA.
Don't say she. Don't say she. Don't say she. Don't say Terry Glenn.
Drew Pearson.
Elvin Hopper.
Yeah, we're going to bring back Drew Pearson.
Drew Pearson.
Oh, you know what?
Man.
The problem with it is now is, you know, I was listening on something earlier today, ESPN or something, and there was a, you know, they were talking about wide receivers that were available, and Jerry Jones, you know, in the last several years, is just not big on signing free agents. So I guess they're just going to go with what they have. Hopefully what they have is good enough to get them through a couple of games until Gallup gets back and give them another – you know, quality receiver, but we're just going to have to wait and see. But I think they're going to go with what they have. I know they like that Kevontae Turpin from TCO, the guy that got from the USFL. I know they really like him. So we'll see how it pans out. Week one, you got Tampa Bay. You know, be nice if we had something, you know, an easy team like the Saints or the Falcons, but no, we got Tampa right off the bat.
All
right. It's
football.
Well,
it's football
season,
boys. I'm not going to
talk
about that, but I hope Dallas beat Tampa. It's one of the few games I root for the Cowboys. I hope they beat Tampa.
Dez Bryant is still available for you, too, Gary. Yeah,
what's that?
I said Dez Bryant is still available, too, if you want to kind of reach out to Dez Bryant.
Here we go. We'll bring him back.
These people think these people in Tampa, man, think Julio Jones is gonna be a game changer. Like, dude ain't been healthy in about 36 years. Like, come on, man.
Here we go.
Hey, man, but like he said, Will Fuller's out there. You could even call COVID Cole Beasley. Get Cole Beasley in there.
Well, Cole Beasley approached the Cowboys.
Mm. I bet he did.
And nothing materialized of it.
Interesting.
Oh, man.
Hey, you know, one more guy. I'm a thought there that, you know, he's still available, and he may have some revenge against his old team. It's Antonio Bryant. You never know, man. Head case Bryant is ready for you too, man.
Probably what happened
with Cole Beasley
is in that initial communication, they probably asked him, will you get vaccinated?
That's a wrap.
I meant to say Antonio Brown. Thanks for that. Yeah, I was thinking of like I was trying to like cross it or something like that too. But yeah, that's funny. But yeah, I don't know what's happening with Cole Beasley. He's probably not ready to get that vaccine for sure. So,
whatever.
Interesting. We'll see. He's going to play the Kyrie Irving game. Hey, so I guess the question is, I know we were talking about the 49ers and the Rams, and I guess the question is, do you think the 49ers will overtake the Rams in the NFC West? That's for you, Gary, if you think some options with that. You know, the 49ers are pretty much always had the Rams numbers, so obviously it's hard to beat a team three times, you know, so they got them in the playoffs last year. But what do you think happens in this instance? Do the Rams have enough, I guess, is the question.
I know the Rams have enough. Okay. I think the 49ers, it's going to depend on how their new quarterback goes. And they've got solid defense, and they're a pretty good team. But I don't think they're near as complete as the Rams. And I think they're more in line with Arizona. They're going to battle for second with Arizona. I don't think the Rams are going to have a problem with the 49ers. That's my take.
Yeah. Yeah, the 49ers, you know, they're one of those teams that their roster, you know, as I think we talked about this on the show last week. I think their roster is loaded, but there's just too many question marks at the quarterback position, you know, going into this season for us to think that they'll be better than the Rams. And I think in some ways they may have a better roster than the Rams. They have a better offensive line than the Rams. Probably just as good as the defensive line as the Rams. Now, they may not have as good a secondary as the Rams, but other than that, I mean, their roster is intact. And it's just going to be a matter of what they can get out of the young kid at the quarterback position. Yeah, to me, there's a few teams that have some pretty stacked rosters, but it's going to be just question mark at the quarterback position. 49ers is one of those teams. The Saints is one of those teams. And there was a third team. Who was it? The Browns, we talked about earlier. Another team with a stacked roster, but just question marks at the quarterback position. So it's going to be intriguing to see what happens there with those three teams.
Well, of those three teams, Rob, I would have to say that I think that the Saints will have the better season of those three teams. I think the Saints will – I don't think they'll win the division – but I think they'll be up in that conversation up until the last couple of games. You know, I think they're going to have a good season, and I think they're a playoff team.
Yeah, out of those three, I would say it's probably going to be between the Saints and the 49ers, out of those three. I think the Browns, like I said, having Brissett and then having to probably wait a few games before Deshaun Watson gets himself settled, you know, maybe a little – too little, too late for them to catch up by the end of the season. You know, with only a 17-game schedule, every game is just so important in the NFL. So it's going to be tough to play catch-up for them.
Well, all these teams, you know, you're talking about, of course, the Rams, their window is now, last year, this year. This is kind of their window of time. But it's also been the 49ers' time, really. With the exception of having, you know, a decent quarterback. And I think they're wasting that by not having that, you know, quarterback like they've had in the past. These big-name quarterbacks that are going to, you know, not be just game managers or, you know, at the end of the game, you're wondering if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to screw things up. And in those games, guess what? Just a pick here or a miscommunication there and a punt. You know, it's these sort of things that are the difference between the 49ers being that team last year to win it all, because they were just a quarterback away from it. If they might have been that team if they would have went after Stafford instead of the Rams. They might have been that team.
Right. Yep. And then you got the defection of the coach. What's my man's name in Miami? The coach in Miami. You got him leaving the staff. He was supposedly a big part of their offense. And to be honest, man, if Trey Lance hits the ground running and balls, then the 49ers can do the things like you guys talked about. But if we're being more realistic and we expect him to be a game manager who runs sometimes, then they're still dealing with the same problems they had last year, which is they're more physical than everybody. They will beat you up. I don't care what team it is, but they got to win on the thinnest of margins. Like, they got to get
they're going to run the ball down your throat and a fumble.
You're right. Oh, and that's the other thing. I don't know if anybody's ever done a deep dive on this, but the way that the 49ers run and what it does to running backs is another thing to be talked about, because you will not last long running in that scheme. I have no idea why, but yeah, I got to find if somebody has kind of written about it, but
backs to get hurt a lot for some reason.
Yeah. It's crazy though. I mean, I think Jimmy Garoppolo was kind of exposed as we kind of, put a bow on this last topic, because we talk about that. That is a good point, Gary, as far as, we're not quite sure of if Trey Lance is going to do his thing. But what I would say is that you already saw what Jimmy Garoppolo did, and you're like, no, thank you, because I was in California with family watching this debacle of just that dude was missing throws. And you're like, man, this guy's terrible. I mean, we were talking about him being hurt, but it's like you might as well put in Trey Lance, because, you just wanted to make sure he can get through, the offseason, make sure he can get – prepare. So they probably told him out of the game, yo, Trey, this is your team, bro. You got a whole season, and I'm with you. He's definitely a project, but he's definitely better than I think Garoppolo. I know that's kind of hard to say because Garoppolo's been in the freaking league, but he was exposed, missing throws. The dude was terrible. So, at this juncture, at least you know that you've got a strong running game. What is a quarterback's best friend? A strong running game. What else is his best friend? A great defense. Put him in great positions. Again, you don't have to have him make these incredible throws. He is going to be a game manager, but at least you have a dynamic running game. I know we've talked about that, him being Kyle Shanahan. I know there's some love-hate here in Atlanta, but we never had to worry about the running game. Kyle will scheme the hell out of something too. So at least we know that they will run the ball. So you got to keep defensive honest to throw, but like I said, they're going to have a strong running game. So Trey will have to make
a couple throws. And if Kittle is healthy, that changes everything too. They need a healthy George Kittle.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So it's like we talked about, the talent is there, and I'm sure if you're Kyle, obviously you like you said, Naj, you lost Mike McDaniel. He coaches the Dolphins now, so that's what you got to worry about, is how that dynamic is going to switch to, as far as losing some coordinators. But like you said, Rob mentioned it. They got a talented roster. They got a good defense. They're going to run the ball. It's going to be interesting if it happens, for sure.
Yeah, you got George Kittle. You got Deebo Samuel re-signed now. The running game, the offensive line. Bosa on that defensive line. I mean, they have a roster. There's no doubt about it.
Good stuff.
Oh, and a little secret about Deebo. Once you sign that contract, you will be getting carries again, brother. The idea of you not getting carries, that was when you weren't paid. Now that you paid, they handed you that ball, though.
You're gonna earn that contract. Let's talk about
Ben Scully.
Situation
just passed
here.
Away at 94 years old. By the way, breaking.
Oh, saw that pop up.
Yeah. Dodgers.
Talk about that.
Broadcaster for 67 years. Incredible. Yeah. Just so happened I'll be wearing my Dodgers gear here, but 94 years old. Wow.
Yeah, we got to talk about him. We got to talk about the Bill Russell. Just another icons. We're losing a couple, unfortunate icons here that's happening in 2022 here. We'll get to that. We definitely want to get to that as we wrap through. There's a couple things I want to discuss as far as interesting situation with the Bears seeking offers for, Tevin Jenkins. And he's a young guy. And I know he missed all of 2021 with the injury. And there's some scuttle that he didn't show up for training camps and some problems with that. Then there's talk about him not being a leader. Then there's talk about him not wanting to work hard. So it's kind of interesting that you give up on this guy
very early in the game. I know I'm scared because Ryan Pace, the old GM for the Bears with the Falcons, and there's been a history of him not making good picks as far as offensive linemen. But this is a very strange case, if you will, too. So I'll throw it to you, Rob. Hopefully we can kind of get this pretty quickly. I definitely talk about Bill Russell and everything like that, too. So what say you about that?
Yeah, this is a guy the Bears took in the second round of last year's draft in 2021, a guy who that some thought had first-round talent, right? And, you know, he got hurt early in the year last year, missed most of the season, came into OTA's minicamp this year. They had him plugged in to start at right tackle. Didn't like his performance. They moved him to the bench pretty early in minicamp OTA's. And now here early in training camp, he's hurt already again. There's some question about his character, his leadership ability, and now the Bears are trying to see what they can get for him on the open market. And, I mean, at this point, all you may get for him is a late draft pick, which is a shame for the Bears because you spent the second-round draft pick on him, and the best you might get for him is a six- or seven-round pick probably right now. Somebody might take a chance on him because, you know, they recognize his talent, right? And that's why he was drafted so high in the draft. Some thought he was a first-round pick. So somebody may be willing to trade a six or seven rounder, especially a team that's in need of offensive linemen, to try to see if they can coach him up and reach his abilities. But right now, there's a lot of concerns for the young kid. Obviously, you hate to see that, but there's a lot of concerns for a lot of evaluators around the NFL on whether or not they're willing to take that chance to put him on their football team.
Well, you take a guy like that is – in a situation, maybe he's just not digging it there. Maybe he's just not, you know, mature enough to handle the whole situation. Probably a combination of both. To me, for a team that you're, like you said, Rob, when you were talking about what could they get out of him, before you even said anything, I thought, you know, seventh round pick, you could give him a seventh round pick, you could probably get a guy like that. Now, if you can get a guy like that, and actually get him in the right system with the right coaching staff and maybe bring that out in him. And that's worth a seventh-round pick. It would be worth to float that seventh-round pick to them for the potential of something like that. Because that's all you're getting in the seventh round anyway. It's more of – it's not a sure thing. It's a potential of what that person could be. But this guy seems to have more potential than – most seventh round picks. So if you could get him in there, coach him up right, I think this could be a good move for any team that needs a player, you know, on the line. Naj?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you guys. Like, ultimately, situations like this, I think this is what the practice squad is for. I think you get a guy like this, you park him on the practice squad so he can get a little money, while you not only evaluate what he does on and off the field, kind of how he's transitioning to the NFL. So then that way you can figure out, like, okay, this guy's probably not going to be an NFL player. Like, the issues may be too much and he may need to walk away. But by parking him on the practice squad, you really make no commitment to it, but you're giving him that carrot. So it's up to him to go chase it, but – yeah, it's a sad story, man. So we'll see. I don't know if I'd trade him for a seventh, though, if I were the Bears. I got to hold on a little longer. I got to get a little more. I need a week of preseason
to get
something, to trick somebody or something.
Yeah. Gentlemen.
So how about a seventh round? Okay, Naj. You're with – this is my offer to you. Seventh round pick and a nice bottle of single malt scotch. You want it or not?
I say no. We're going to do the Belichick method. We're going to put him out there in preseason and make him look amazing, and then price of the brick going up, baby.
Price of the brick is going up.
I love it. I do want to get some time in because I want to literally talk about just one of the greatest players and icon in sports, Bill Russell, 11-time champion for the Celtics. And just iconic, and there's been calls to retire the number six across all the NBA. We know about the trophy being named after him. There's a couple things that we could talk about. I was looking at this article for Yahoo Sports, and I think it's a really great article. It talks about how he was one of the first players to really stand up. You know, they called him Batman on the court, but then Bruce went off of it because he was able to kind of navigate a very difficult time in the civil rights movement. He kind of stood and said a lot of things, sided with Muhammad Ali about the war, and just him living in, again, one of the most racist cities in Boston, and I hate to say that, you know, on the show, but that's kind of a fact at the time. And some situations happened. I think there's somebody that came in his house and spread feces on his wall and in his bed, and, you know, he's getting investigated by the FBI, and his teammate at the time, you know, Cousy didn't even, like, do anything. You know, he's like, yeah, you figure that here's a situation where he had every right to be, you know, upset about his teammates, but he still was that consummate professional. And then you talk about him on the court, just, you know, he wasn't getting subbed in and out. He was able to play in all those different lineups. And you think about, there was a better player at the time, supposedly Wilt Chamberlain. He had far greater numbers than, you know, Russell, but Russell had the championships, you know. So you have a situation where this guy was just the consummate, just professional, if you will. So just, I know there's so much we can talk about him and just how, you know, every iconic player is, okay, this is just a great guy. He was admired, respected, and just a stoic guy. He kind of reminds me of your great-great-grandfather, right? This is a dude that he has so many stories that he could probably tell. And then for him to, you know, to be this iconic figure, I'm sure we can talk about it too, that, you know, your experiences too, because 88 years, they said he died peacefully. So just kind of a great life, if you will, too. So I don't know if you want to touch on this great character and kind of your thoughts on Bill Russell. We'll start with you, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things I'll touch on is the impact he had on the African-American community, right, and helping several African-American NBA players, too, and kind of just being a mentor for them. I think that's a hidden impact that, you know, but also what he did in the community. He was huge in the civil rights movement as well. So he was definitely an NBA player, and he was a champion. He won 11 championships. Now, he had some great teams, right? You know, he played on the teams with a lot of great players that most players didn't have, but you don't want to take away from the fact of his impact on that team and being an all-defensive player all of those years. Like I said, the impact that he had in the community, the civil rights movement, and how he helped so many African-American players is just huge, and he's going to have a lasting impact. And you see, you know, that trickling down to some of the players now, such as Magic Johnson and what he's doing in the African-American community, LeBron James and what he's doing in the African-American community as well. You know, a lot of that came from Bill Russell.
Absolutely. You know, on the court, you know, he was just – in college, he was a two-time collegiate champion, NCAA Most Valuable Player, you know, two-time first All-American, 11, and then in the pros, 11-time champion, 5-time MVP, 12-time All-Star, NBA All-Star MVP, 3-time All-NBA first time, 8-time All-NBA second team, NBA All Defensive Team, 4-time rebound champ. You know, he was a coach, but then none of that compares really. That is phenomenal. That is the best there is. That is the gold star right there. So,
yep.
But all of that fails to compare to what that man was off the court. His legacy off the court is far better than all of those absolutely incredible stats that no one will ever match.
That's true.
It's unbelievable, man. During a time where, like you talked about Boston in the 60s, and to be able to stand up, you know, with you know, Muhammad Ali and Jim Brown and all those guys that were around him, supporting him during the time when he needed him, you know, and to not waver from his beliefs his entire life. And I remember just recently he was with these NBA greats, Do you remember that? He was with mm-hmm. all these centers. You
in
know?
The All-Star game.
Yeah, that's right. I would kick your ass. And you know what? He meant it.
Yeah.
He meant it.
Yeah.
Great man. He'll be missed.
That's dope that he got to attend that top 75 thing, like, because you never know when somebody's going to go. So the fact that a lot of those people got to shake hands with him and talk to him, you know, not knowing it was probably going to be their last time seeing him. So, you know, that's a beautiful thing. And, like, Bill Russell as a basketball player, of course, this is the ultimate floor game player. Like, nobody has ever reached his level as far as floor game. This is a guy who diagnoses everything that's going on and decides what's needed. Okay, I'm going to rebound, I'm going to rim run, and I'm going to do putbacks. Like, that's about it. But besides that, I'm blocking shots and I'm passing the ball and getting assists. Basketball genius. Now, outside of that, think about this person who thinks celebrity culture is unhealthy and something that we shouldn't indulge in, so he refuses to sign autographs. People get mad at him, but he sees it as, you shouldn't want my autograph. It's a bad thing. He attends the March on Washington, and they try to get him on stage. He refuses to go on stage. No, they need to hear from you guys. I'm a basketball player who is supportive, but I should not be out front. More of his disdain for celebrity. So he refuses to do it. And like you guys said, that great picture of him, Ali, Jim Brown, Lou Alcindor, or Kareem, where they're supporting Ali, this is a moment where the rift between him and Boston really got much, much worse. It was just open disdain for him to the point of where when they retired his jersey, he did not attend the ceremony. And it took until, I want to say, like 99 or 98. There's a point where he finally repaired, where the Celtics finally repaired that relationship with him. And now the older folks in the city of Boston now look at him as they should have way back when he was trying to pull them up to being civilized, I guess you could say. But, yeah, man, the great Bill Russell, man. It's just so much. Like, dude, I'll tell you a quick side story. When he played at San Francisco in college with the person who would go on to coach the Celtics, the brother's name I can't call right now, Casey Jones. There we go. The great Casey Jones. Mm-hmm. So they win the championships. Casey Jones doesn't get taken by the NBA. He goes to the NFL. And for y'all, look this up. You ain't got to believe me. Casey Jones studied the rule book and created the bump and run for cornerbacks during training camp. Then after that, he figured the NFL wasn't for him and then went to the NBA and won championships with Russell. Like the stories on Russell are endless, dude. The connections and stories, like, it's just endless. But, yeah, go look that up.
Wow.
Casey Jones invented bump and run. I'm not lying to you.
I'm going
to
look that up.
Wow, that's a basketball player.
Look up,
yeah, that's
wow.
He studied the rule book and said, wait a minute, I can't just impede the wide receiver off the line? Okay, I'm going to do that in practice tomorrow. And
you're right. I see the story online.
Wow.
Never knew that.
That's good. Look at Dodge coming through with a great situation. I love it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he left the impact. I think we'll talk. We've got about 12 minutes left in the show here. We're going to talk about the amazing situation that's happening with baseball. We had just a flurry of moves happening. You don't want to be remiss to talk about some situations that happened. I know we kind of talked about it briefly. Juan Soto going to the Padres, and they're just getting – geared up because they don't even have Tatis back yet. I know we were talking about that earlier. Yankees make some moves. Yankees made a serious play for Ohtani, if you will, and I'm kind of happy that did not happen, damn Yankees. So,
what do you hate?
You know. What? Why?
What do you hate, man? You know that's what Southerners call people in New York, right? Damn Yankees.
I'm
like one of those Southerners.
Why do you like the Yankees, Rob? Why do you like the Yankees?
Mr. October, Reggie Jackson, Dave Winfield. Growing up in New Orleans, we didn't have a baseball team. I adopted the Yankees.
You adopted the Yankees, right? So you picked the best team that was out there, right? At the time, right?
At that time, they weren't the best team.
You sure?
Steinbrenner years. Steinbrenner years. Oof.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Steinbrenner has some lean years.
I'm not hating. I'm just asking the question because, you know, obviously if you have somebody like the Yankees, because they're always going to get certain players, and it just kind of feels really similar to hating if you want the best player out there. And, you know, if the basketball team is the same thing, you get hated on as well.
And I didn't hear you becoming a Warriors fan until Steph Curry started winning championships.
I mean,
I remember you rooting for the Warriors during the Run TMC days.
I was actually a big fan of obviously Tim Hardaway. Big fan of that back in the day. The two-step,
yeah.
Man. Was I a fan when he was choking coaches? Absolutely not. You know, whenever Charles Spiro was there, not absolutely not. Billy Owens, yeah, for the conversation. Chris Webber, yeah, you know. But I will say this in defense
you
of the Warriors.
You had to be a fan way back in the Joe Barry Carroll days to be a real fan of the Warriors.
That's another conversation, but you don't pick a team unless they have a certain style too, right? Because you may like, yeah, I like a team, and then all of a sudden, as player comes and brings back some excitement to the organization, you know, that's a whole another conversation, if you will. But you know, obviously,
shout out to whatever sports writer came up with the nickname Joe Barely Cares for Joe Barry Carroll. Shout out to whoever came up with that.
Oh man, we can talk about some blurry moves. I'm kind of joking. Go ahead.
Andre, you have something there. As we become fans of different teams, you know, it's usually one of the things is where you live, the region you're in. The other is, you know, maybe an uncle or a father or a cousin or
yeah,
whatever,
that's
you know. That's how I became a Cowboy fan, you know. Years ago, my uncle was a heavy equipment operator, and he actually, you know, worked on, Texas Stadium. Helped build it. That's kind of how I got started, you know. And as far as the Yankees, you know, and you talk about Steinbrenner, there were some lean Steinbrenner years, very lean. But he was the one owner. He was the one owner that was willing. You know, he has a shipping business, and he hawked that business to recreate those Yankees and to make them a winner again. You know, he put his family, his legacy all in, you know, in jeopardy if they had not created what we see today. So he's got a set of balls in his pants bigger than most owners in really any sport to do something like that. So that's what I'm a big fan of. I'm a big fan of that.
I'll say that, and I'll let Naj in here too, because we're going to have a show about – hold on, Naj. Go ahead, do your thought. I'm going to say – go ahead. I'll let you get your thought.
Go ahead, Andre. My bad.
No, I was just going to say that I can't wait for the show whenever we do talk about that. We're going to talk about, like, how we became fans of our teams, because you hit it right on the head too, Gary, because some of it is based upon region. And I think now it's a little different now because we've got the internet and we've got social media and all that fun stuff too. We got Funny Ticket and all those different things too. But, you know, when I remember growing up, there are certain players that I like, you know, and I had all these teams like, you know, Rob News, that I was a fan of the Athletics because I like Dave Stewart. You know, I was like, oh, that was my guy. I just like the Athletics. And then I was a fan of, you know, the Mariners because of Ken Griffey Jr., right? That was my guy, right? Ichiro. I just like certain players, and you kind of gravitate to that situation too. My dad was a huge – he grew up in Chicago, right? This doesn't make any sense, right? You'd think he'd be a Bears fan, right? But he loved the Packers for some reason. I don't know why he was revolting. He was a Packers fan. Like, what the hell does that mean? You know, so you think I'll be a Packers fan, but we moved around so much that I was in – you know, Texas, and we were in Calvary. I was in Kansas. I was in California. I had all these different places that I moved to that, you know, it was hard. Then Atlanta was the longest place that I've lived. So I'm like, hey, well, you know, I've been here the longest. So, you know, obviously, you know, I was back whenever we drafted Andre Bruce. That's how bad we were, man. That was terrible. Grit Split, freaking, you know, man, damn. What's his name? I can't think of his name.
I can tell you a true Falcon fan.
Oh, my God.
You were talking to Andre Bruce days. You were a true Falcon fan. But
I mean, we had some.
You
weren't
rooting for the Warriors back
Archer
in Bill Barrett's days. You can't call you a Warriors.
I was not. I was not. But I'm just saying. But I do. And I'll let Najee explain it too. But I'm saying is like you'll start to you say you may like a team because of a different style. Because you know one of my guys, I know he loved the Oilers because this was the hockey team. Obviously, it's like hey, they had a fast style. We kind of you know they've changed so much, but you may like a team because of a certain situation because of style. I mean, I know that JQ's on this call. London, back in the day, I was a fan of, you know, the Fab Five because they were just so different right at the time. You know, Michigan, you're like, man, granted, it's like you can't like Michigan now anymore, but just you just kind of like, hey, this is a good, you know, squad. Maybe I like the Running Rebels. Maybe I like, you know, Arkansas. You know, you just kind of like certain teams for their style or for their character, little things like that, too. And it's kind of, you know, maybe it's for – I'm not saying I'm a bandwagon fan, but you just like a certain team or certain style, and then, you know, you kind of like, hey, this it is what it is, too, man. So, or you like a player.
40
like
minutes of hell.
Certain things. Yep. So that's my little – you know, we'll talk about, like, why we like certain teams. And, I mean, Georgia Tech freaking sucks, but I was a huge fan of Kenny Anderson, right? So the Lethal Weapon 3, back in the day, they are the most – sorriest, you know, football team ever. I'm like, I'm still like hold on to hope, but you know, and it's like, man, this team sucks, man. But I'm like, come on, guys, hopefully we'll be good. But you can never like, you know, fault me for not being loyal for that. You know? And I eventually want to have a winning squad under my belt, something, you know. But you just get tired of, you know, losing. So that's my 2 cents. We'll talk about like why at some point, like you said, Gary, your dad, you know, a certain style. If the team is winning, you know, how you ended up adopting a team that you adopted, if you will. So that's kind of my my soapbox, if you will. So go ahead, Naj, before we wrap up the show and your thoughts. I didn't mean to spend too much time on that.
No, you're good, brother. Brother, you're good. Just remember, nobody can take away your Joey Hamilton years at Georgia Tech. They can't take it away from you, Andre. We had those.
That's right. I got Calvin Johnson. I bet him. That was my guy. But I bet Calvin Johnson. My life was complete.
It won
a
championship. What was that, 1990, with Sean Jones the quarterback?
1991.
Yes,
yep. 91.
Yep.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
We got two. We got, well, yeah, like the Georgia. We kind of thought Georgia, but hold on the conversation. Go ahead. Go ahead, Naj. Finish that.
it's kind of thin around there as far as winning, but it is what it is. But look, everything y'all said is valid. I agree 100%. The only thing is I'm the person you should boo because I am the mercenary fan. I am the fan of the point spread, and I will change teams at the drop of a hat. I will like you for a couple of weeks, then I will not like you. That is my gospel. I am trying to preach to everybody else and get other fans to be mercenaries with me. Be around for the win.
It's like fantasy football and fantasy basketball. You start rooting for the players.
That's correct. And that's probably what got me to this. Playing too much fantasy. That's probably what turned me into a mercenary fan. I'm out here trying to recruit other mercenary fans. Leave your
so
team.
Whenever the Patriots are doing good, were the Patriots doing it? Were you on the Patriots bandwagon? You were cool with that? You were just jumping ship
no.
and everything like that whenever they were?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no. Those were painful years, brother. Those were painful years. You think Max Kellerman got it wrong predicting Tom Brady would fall off? I did that 5 years before he did. So, yeah, a whole lot of crow.
At least he's honest. At least
thing.
He's honest. I can't hate. I yeah. can't hate. I love it.
Hey, well, this might be the year. You got two starting offensive linemen already gone. right up the middle. Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with Salt Man. Love to hear from you all via Twitter and Facebook. Give us some comments on the show. Let us know if you agree with our thoughts or disagree with us. We would love to hear from you all. So we'll be right back at you on next Tuesday night. In Washington, D.C., it's going to be 11 p.m. We want to hear from y'all about the Juan Soto trade. What do you guys like? You like it? Disagree with it? Agree with it? Chicago, where the Cubs and White Sox are struggling. We want to hear from y'all, too. It's going to be 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Albuquerque, 9 p.m. Central. And, of course, California is going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. All right. Good night, people. Going to our OT portion of the show. We can't give you this portion of the show live, but click on the same link to get the rest of the show. Good night.
Good night, people.
This is for JQ, the ghost side. It's all good. It's all good. This is for JQ and your family as well, too. we're going to have definitely a bridge OT portion of the show, because I do want to talk briefly about some NBA news. The tampering, supposedly, investigation that the NBA is talking with the Knicks and Rick Brunson for Jalen Brunson, if you will. And I guess, and we're not going to spend a lot of time, because I know we got early mornings and stuff like that, at least the East Coast side does. But it's interesting because Dallas was kind of complaining, right? They're basically saying that, you know, whenever they were trying to make the situation to get back, you know, Jalen Brunson didn't even want to talk about contracts. I mean, his mind was already made up. So there's some questions that there had already been something in the works prior to him actually hitting free agency. So I guess that's what they're investigating. Rob, I'll let you kind of talk about that and any last topic as we get ready to wrap up the OT portion. So go ahead, man.
Hey, of course there was tampering. I was wondering why this didn't come out sooner. I mean, everyone was talking about Rick Brunson going to the Knicks even before free agency happened, right? And his dad worked for the Knicks. You know, he talks to his dad. I mean, come on, that's tampering. So we knew going into this, there had to be some kind of tampering going on. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. You see what happens with the – you saw what happened with the Miami Dolphins today.
That came out after I did
the topic for the show. But they're going to lose a first-round pick and a third round for tampering. So what's going to happen with the Knicks here in this situation? Does the NBA come down hard on them as well? I mean, obviously there's an investigation that still needs to take place. But come on. Your dad works for the Knicks. You know you talk to your dad. Come on. I mean,
was it worth it? I think is the question, even if it does happen. Was it worth it? Right. Go ahead, Gary. I know you're about to say something on that. Go ahead.
Well that's what I was thinking. You know, when you have your parent working for the Knicks, that's a no-brainer. I'm going to call you in the office and say, hey, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen? Can you tell them to come on over here? Tell them we'll give them whatever, you know. Of course, but you know what? I believe that happens throughout sports. I believe it happens in the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball. It happens in all the sports, you know, and I'm surprised it's not I'm surprised this one is such an issue because the dad works for the Knicks. But wow. I'm surprised in sports that it's not more of a topic, because it's got to happen all the time. This person's going to talk to this person, they're going to have this little go-between person between the agent and the teams or whatever. And I'm positive it happens. I'm positive it happens all the time. So I think it's just – I don't think it's going to be any really big deal. And I don't think it'll be as bad as two first-round picks in the third or something like that. I think it'll be a minor thing, I think. What do you think?
Can't wait to hear Naj. Yeah, good, Naj. I love it. Can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be minor, but remember, in the NBA, in order to trigger the investigation, another team has to put forward a complaint. So the Philly thing, that's probably Miami complaining, and the New York thing, more than likely, that's Dallas complaining. So if they put in a formal complaint, then the NBA has to investigate it. So they're going to get a slap on the wrist, because I don't think anybody's stupid enough to, like, leave a trail of, you know, XYZ led to this, you know what I mean? So I doubt there'll be that kind of trail, but, you know, you got to slap them on the wrist a little bit. But, yeah, collusion is part of the NBA, man. Look, they was tampering so hard it would make Magic Johnson blush. Like, that's just what it was. They hired his father because they knew he was going to be a free agent, and they were going to try to entice him to come to New York. It worked. The Philly situation is worse. All of a sudden, James Harden and his agent can't send the facts in on time. Really? That's what you're going with? It is.
Who still uses the fax machine?
We're going to fax that contract in right now. No, but absolutely good stuff. And I think to kind of talk about both the situations between the Knicks and the Dolphins, because you look at it, and I know I felt like the NFL came down a little bit more harder on Stephen Ross, you know, that even that dude's a jackwad. But it's messed up because, you know, they're like, oh, he's going to leave apples from his team. Nothing was really – it wasn't like anything that was heavy. It's almost like a slap on the wrist if you think about it. It's like they're going to – you know, you don't really make him feel it, if you will. So it's like, yeah, you know, you're going to lose a couple draft picks. You know, you're going to get a fine, $1.5 million. you're going to stay away from your team for a couple months, but you don't really, nothing really happened, you know? It's like, I don't know, I'm just kind of upset as far as situations where you keep getting away with stuff. And the same thing with, like you said, Gary, with the Knicks. They're going to, you knew that was going to happen. It's like, come on, why even like a situation? And then, like I said, if they lose the first and the third, it was kind of worth it for them, or excuse me, first and the second. And the Knicks are like, it was worth it because we got the guy we wanted anyway, you know? So there's not really any like flesh, if you will, pound of flesh taken. So I don't know. It's pretty disappointing, I would say.
Yeah, that Stephen Ross thing is different, though. Because it's like, okay, for one, you're playing in the tank. Your coach, you when you hired him, you told him you were playing to win, and then you make moves to tank. Then you go talk to somebody else's employee in Tom Brady and make promises
right.
to him about an ownership stake and moving into the front office
yep.
after, possibly after he's done playing. Then we get the Brady retirement thing. And then the Flores lawsuit comes out and destroys all of their little maneuvering, and now Stephen Ross gets left holding the bag. And they probably didn't hit him hard enough, but I know
right.
one thing.
Well,
if other owners find out you're trying to poach their players, like, yeah, there's going to be some problems at the owners' meeting, Stephen Ross.
But they're not going to make him sell the team, though, Nash. He still has a team. He's still fine. He's still a billionaire. You know, so it's like, yeah, I lost like, you know, $1.5 million is almost like, you know, 50, you know, it's money, but it's like, I don't know.
I agree. They didn't hit him hard enough, but.
And the way the wording of the contract is like, well, we didn't tell him to, you know, lose. We just didn't want him to win. It's, you know, it's kind of weird. You're like, come on, bro. We didn't say tank. We just say,
crazy.
You know, hey, you know, just get a better draft position. Come on. It's like, it's like I can kind of twist the words any way to kind of get my outcome, you know. So, you know, again, obviously it hurts because even as a kid, I told you this guy to the team, I was a fan of the Dolphins even as a young guy because, you know, I like the Marks brothers. I like the Mark Clayton and Mark Duper. I love them because I was a wide receiver, you know. But, you know, it's just different as you kind of see the team now. And, you know, they're trying to claim that Mikey
McDaniel
was
a wide receiver at 5'7".
Man, get the hell out of here, man. That time, that was a perfect size, man. 5'9", I was quick, man. I can come out of those breaks, man. I used to love it. Nowadays, I'm a running back. There's no way I can be a receiver now, 5'2". But it's crazy just how, you know, again, how it's evolved and just, you know, again, I just think that there wasn't enough done for the Dolphins, and it's kind of sad to see that organization kind of, you know,
dude,
claim that.
If Brian Flores doesn't bring that lawsuit forward, we would have woke up
mm-hmm.
one day and Tom Brady would have been in Miami and Tampa
yeah.
would have been mad as hell. Like, dude, think about that.
That's true. That's
that
true.
Whole
That's
story.
And he tampered with Sean Payton while he's still with the Saints.
That's where Sean Payton, too. Yeah. Yeah. He was doing all kinds of – that's whenever you know you above the law. I do whatever the hell I want, man. Yeah, another person tried to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say names, you know, but he did run a country at one time. Anyway, but I think you just get away with stuff. Do whatever the hell you want. Just no consequences, you know. So, but yeah.
Well, that's the NFL's fault because if they had let him buy the Buffalo Bills, none of us would have went through any of that stuff we went through the past 3 years. Shut up, team. We'd go through none of this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
Gary, I don't know what happened. I don't know why you lost the Zoom, sir. We missed seeing your face, man. But I guess, again, it probably back in for some reason. But it's all good. We know that everyone's going to have a pretty long week. Again, Naj, it was so great to hear you talk for the full 50 minutes, man. Hopefully you get a chance to join us again next week. I think we're at the same time, Rob, next Tuesday. We'll plan on everything like that if anything changes.
Yep, we're going for next Tuesday unless anybody's schedule changes.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, that's what we're shooting for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're
going to
be without JQ one more week before we get him back.
Yeah, I know like the last week.
Well,
in,
I'll keep you posted on my
August.
Schedule, Rob.
Yeah, keep us posted as
okay.
well, Gary, what's happening on your side, too. I know the last weekend, that's funny, the last week of August, I know I'm going to be traveling on the road, so we'll see about that. I'm going to Destin, Florida, Rob. I know I'm a little different away from you in Tampa, but I'll be in Florida, at least in the same
okay.
state with you, man. So I know we'll be traveling down there. So I just depends on what time we land. And
Destin is nice.
We'll be driving. But anyway. All good. So, like I said, we'll keep those up, man. Have a great week. I know at this time we're going to probably get some preseason football in a week or two. Excited about that. You know, obviously the dust settled with the Major League Baseball trade, and we'll see what's going to happen on the NBA side, too. We're kind of hitting the stride, and obviously college football coming around the corner, too. So there's a couple topics we can talk about next week. I know we've had some commits and everything like that, but we can obviously push those next. Yeah, to wish that, too. But, gentlemen, have a great rest of your day. Naj, good talking to you as well. Gary, appreciate you, man. Make sure everything is good with Curtis for us. And we will see you guys same time, same channel next week.
All right, y'all.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, people. Good night, people.